welcome again. As I mentioned earlier, Kel's here to talk to us this morning, share some of his experience, his history and how he's part of his ministry, I guess, is what I'm really hoping to hear, how he's contributed through his gifts and his particular skill set to spreading the gospel around this country, which is, this country is in desperate need of the gospel. There are too many voices seeking to silence us rather than to proclaim us, and unfortunately not enough people trying to proclaim the gospel by whatever means, through music, through word, or most importantly just by individual fellowship with our brothers and sisters, our neighbours and our friends. So why don't I just put this copy down and pray for Kel as he speaks, and we'll hear what he's got to say. Father God, thank you for bringing Kel. Thank you for all his work over many years and his commitment to you. As he speaks this morning, may your Holy Spirit open our hearts, that you might prompt us to contribute to the ministry in some way, by talking to our friends, by sharing Christian materials with people, through inviting friends, family to church. May your Holy Spirit work through Kel's words into our hearts, that we may seek your glory in our lives in all our different situations. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, I've done a fair few presentations in my life, usually in business and various government things, and a little bit of music and things like that. But this is a bit of a life journey type of presentation, which is a pretty unique opportunity. So I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be here today and to make a bit of a story. I think some of it will touch parts of your lives along the way, because we all have different stories. We all have a journey. And my one, I guess, is very much surrounded or embellished by music, entertainment, and the people that I've met and touched, and vice versa along the way. So I'm going to go back on over a couple of decades, and there'll be something familiar to you, something's not, but it all builds a picture, it all builds the context of where we're going and what we're doing, and also how we react, which is pretty important in my perspective, because there's a few things that I'll probably point along the way, and one of them, first up, is it's in giving that you receive, and there's a lot to give, and it's amazing how much people's lives can be changed when you give. It's a good thing. Okay, born in 58, a long time ago, era of rock and roll. I was oblivious to that when I was born, obviously. But by the time I was about four, there was these Peter, Paul and Mary records. There were a few other things happening around, but I was listening to this stuff, like Fighter Hammer, 500 Miles. Really classic songs that had not just a story about good rhythms and harmonies and all the rest, but they actually had a strong meaning, social meanings. They also had a faith meaning. It was interesting. It was all embedded. And so that was my first inspirations in terms of thinking about, I like this. This is a good thing. I want to do something with it. And that I gradually progressed. But I was sadly disappointed, because when I did start to learn music at a music school, my first sheet of music I brought was Bob Dylan. I thought, oh, this is great. It's going to have, like a Rolling Stone and some really good things in there, you know. And no, it was Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, which is a love song of embedded and twisted in how you use somebody and you leave. So I thought, this is not really what... I've still got a copy, but it's worth a bit of money, actually, because it was pretty vintage these days. Anyway, but I progressed. So, okay, had those very basic roots. By the year of eight, I was doing classical guitar playing, tuition at the Hornsby School of Music, which is pretty cool. and I was learning all these different techniques, but the main thing, I was learning to read music, which a lot of musicians don't have, and I value to this day. It's a pain in the backside, but I progressed through primary school through to a Christian brother school called St. Leo's. Interesting, because a lot of them had fairly torrid times, I think, in terms of the discipline and other things. The school I went to was quite amazing. It was based in Wurrunga. It was males only. But it was run by some brothers that were out there at the time. I should digress just early bringing childhood up until that point, in terms of faith and influences, Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Adventist, in roughly that priority order, and then also communist. We had a neighbour that was heavily into communism and anarchy, and they would say, I was 8 years old, anytime you want to come and walk in the house, we're more away, we can do so. So I did. Soviet Union books and all these other things. And, okay. Very interesting, but the social context was important. We the people, all that type of stuff. I got onto free mailing lists at the age of 8 for Pravda. Because they said, good, just right away in those days. 7C stamps. All those types of strange things are out there. Okay, but they all worked. So that was an influence too, because that was a bit further down the bottom. But that gave a bit of social welfare context to some things. Doesn't matter whether what they said was actually true, where they were doing it. Another story. Okay, so off to Leo's. And these guys are saying, okay, music theology, all this stuff, that is all good stuff, all mixed in together. We're doing gospel, a bit of gospel music. We're doing some of the concerts we're doing, which a lot of people with me crowd, but hey, between 8 and 10, you're doing Swanee River and you're doing blackface with Kiwi Bootwash. It was true. Lucky there's no videos. Anyway, but I really did appreciate the music part behind that, because now the stuff that, and I've read up about Al Johnson, what is really happening in his life,
right.
And it was fascinating, this stuff. And this is a kid that is absorbing, like I said, Steve, absorbing like a sponge. You know, get the World Book Encyclopedias, get Britannica, and just find out more information. There was no internet, There was no Wikipedia. Okay, so you just grab all this stuff and it just builds and builds and builds. It's exciting and it is a really great journey. Now, along with that, you're going with your faith. You know, where's it going? But these brothers at Leo's, they decided, okay, we're going to have some rock bands on the concert, the school oval on the weekends. We did, instead of doing walkathons, we did cleanathons. You'd walk along with a pick and a big plastic woven bag and chuck the rubbish in for 10 km. You still get paid per kilometre you want, but it's pretty novel stuff. Okay, anyway, they brought bands like Autumn, Piranha, the early days of Pinch, so many did great, Sydney, well, they're all Sydney acts, of course. But, you know, people were going to clubs and pubs and whatever else to play. We're all underage, of course. And they're bringing these bands to our school on the weekends. Nobody was doing that.
Yeah.
Right? But there were other things happening too. And I'll revisit her later on, but Sister Janet Mead, for example, with the Lord's Prayer. I got caught up with that all about 20 years later, 30 years later. But it was fascinating at the time. It was really revolutionary stuff for religion. Because religion was very organised. Doesn't matter which denomination you're in. But Baptists were just breaking up too. And they started to do concerts. The youth groups all over the place, you know. They're probably a little bit later, but the Catholics, for some strange reason in Australia, they really broke the mould of what was happening around the rest of the world. And okay, there was a pretty revolutionary Pope at the time. It took a long, many, many years for things to get through, as we heard the previous speaker a couple of months ago. But it was really strange. But it was great to be part of it, because you felt good. It reinvigorated your faith in Jesus more than all the other rules and, you know, encyclicals and all those. You went to sleep with those. But there were some real basics there. You know, love one another, all those type of things. The Ten Commandments. Really basic core stuff. That worked. And it probably resonates with everybody anyway. And that's where we all start to divide then. Or you know a bit more about this, or you believe a bit more in that. either way. It was exciting stuff. So that got me going. Now, then I moved schools. The other thing, there were amazing people that I was friends with. One of my best friends was, I used to walk to school with him every day, so I used to go to his house before we started our walk. His parents would usually chuck us a bit of extra tucker on the side for breakfast, which is nice too. He had three great, gorgeous sisters, which I didn't know what was going on in my mind, but something felt good. But he had a brother, it was Tim Doyle, and he was the founder of Machinations, and the lead guitarist and rhythm guitarist and main songwriter, which became famous in Sydney 10-15 years later, Stringer Hits, into the soul groovy things. Well, he was just learning to play guitar. I was teaching him, you know. It was pretty cool stuff. And he had a better guitar than I had. I had an old K-pop Chinese guitar at the time, but it did the job. I just had to keep it in tune. And, you know, those days, how do you tune the thing? It's a real pain. And you had to do it by rote. They weren't physical instruments that you could tune it to. A little a tuning fork. You start that. That was the way you go. Okay. So, but I was getting used to playing drop Ds, as Tazen would know. And just by default, it happens, it stops. Anyway, I will mention some some names of people. I'm not trying to big note or anything like that, but I have met a lot of people over the years. But I also must admit, I come from a family of entertainers. Right? It's in our blood, but it's in our upbringing. It's the way we parent our kids, children, including the way I parented my children. And it's also with a bit of inspiration and faith in yourself and what you can do, and you're drawing on that inner strength. Now, sometimes that comes through Jesus. Some people will find that. Others will find it somewhere else. What I've been really, really lucky with most of our family, and it's really across the board, is it hasn't been much through drugs. It hasn't been through other crutches to hold you up and get you through life. I need to bring it down even harder. It was interesting, you know. We had amazing people like that. I had an auntie Stella. We used to babysit in that. And only years later, Helen Reddy, a daughter, was up there singing I Am Woman and all those other things. But her first hit was actually I Don't Know How to Love Him, which was from Superstar. Huh? Now, I knew that when that came out, great song, really good. And Elite, my sister Alita, used to sing that too. We were all on TV at the age of 5 and 6 and things like that, doing various roles. My sister got into a TV show in the end, and she was a compere of Simon Townsend's Wonderworld with Jonathan Coleman. We all had these links into various other things. Tony Lamond was a cousin. Chrissy Amphlett of the Divinals, again, a distant cousin. Amazing people, and yet, and Tazel was just every day. That's right. Because at various times people are famous. At various times you've got your main, 15 minutes of fame, or you've got 2 years usually, 3 years. If you think of all your great musicians and that, their most productive time is between the age of 17 to 32. That's where it all crams in. Well, after that point in time, they're all playing hits. They're the best of. Nobody wants to hear their new music. Nobody wants to see their new films, you know, whatever it might be. We've all been involved in TV, film. Glenn, my brother, and my Murray, and the Lift Lead father, stack of different things, country practice, heaps of things. But it wasn't like big noting or anything. Just things happen and you make networks and that. But you also have a lot of faith along the way that gets you through. Otherwise, you can be distracted by other things, you know, easy women, certainly plenty out there, plenty of drugs, plenty of promises of good times or whatever, but you're having a good time and you're making a good time. But also I'm a bit of a, and a lot of us are, including probably Taze, we're a little bit dialectic. We like to look at the technical side. We like to make, you know, we like to be a bit professional, make sure it's right. We're not all outgoing. I mean, at times I can be outgoing, other times I can just feel like I just want to be alone. A lot of time when you're growing up, you're going through this journey, you do want to be alone because you're absorbing all this information and you're trying to work out what can I do with it, you know, how can I improve things, or I can be a better person or whatever. I must say, there's not a lot of self-doubt along this way, along this journey. A lot of it's go for it, in a way. But just make sure you know how to get out of escape and things like that, and what's really holding it together. Okay, so along came Superstar, that topic. And I knew there's another one out there, though. And it was Godspell. I don't know if many recall that. Godspell had a much stronger focus back to the faith side, and what the whole meaning was, and what's that. And I was very fortunate that first chance I had, I went to see Godspell in Newcastle. We moved to Port Macquarie, a surfing town, tourist town, totally different world. Historic churches and all that type of stuff. But the music was really lacking at that stage. Anyway, something I could do, even as a teenager. So we went to Godspell and had a look, and I was right up next to the band, which was fantastic. I didn't really care much about the lyrics. I knew the lyrics. I had the program, all that stuff, but I was watching what the band was doing and looking at the lyrics and the way they just gelled together. And gee, they were happy. You might have seen a lot of different artists at times, and I used to be one of them too, that would be very serious. But, these guys were so happy, and I thought, I'd be like
that. How old were you then?
Oh, it would have been 13.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm moving along, we're into the 70s, and the 70s is where it really happened for me. But the 60s, as I said, had a big influence, but it was social meaning and a bit of faith and all this stuff to jolt together coming up. And, okay, so we're into that, and that did have a big impact upon my way of seeing. These guys are really excited. I met a couple of them after it, and they said, we enjoy the music, it's great fun to play, but you listen to the lyrics too, put it all together. That's a way of expression that we can actually contribute and make people happy. Everybody walks out of those concerts and go, wow, happy. They're just on high. No drugs. No other stimulants. And they can remember most of the words of the songs, Day by Day, all these type of things. It became number one, Colleen Hewitt. She changed her life with that song. Not just financially, not just as a performer, but spiritually. Now, she had an impact upon another person at the time who was doing pretty well in the UK, and all that, a woman called Libby Newton-John, who also, at that time, found Christ. Now, other things happened a bit later on with New Age, but she had some major medical issues, and that affected her as well. But people go through journeys, and I'm explaining mine. Okay, so, up to there, so, got my little handwritten notes I wrote down about. You don't know your own story, you don't know much. Yeah. Okay, I trained as classical guitarist but when I was from the age of eight. Now, I'm going to fast forward to the pop, but I've got to mention my sister. I never got along with my sister very well when we were young. But we have two brothers, so you're basically looking at peer pressure, getting them on your side. But she did an amazing thing. When we were in this town of Port Macquarie, they had virtually no music ministry in either the Anglican or the Catholic churches up there. And right up to see each other. And, you just go between each other and help out where you can. So we did. And she wrote a musical when she was 15 called Judah, based on the Old Testament. And because she liked strong women. And we had Helen Reddy and other mentors and things like that, obviously. So it's good. But she did that off her own bat. She took all her, and she was a bit of an introvert at the time. She did all her extra curriculum activity, getting this done in 3 months. And it was full composition, full of school, because she could read music as well. And she bugged my mother, we've got to put this on. Now, I'd already joined Port Macquarie Players and was doing Bye Bye Birdie and all types of things, as you do. First kiss, right? Get on the stage. Right. Sorry, didn't expect that, but I didn't even read that in the script, but it happened. It was good, I guess. So we had this hall where we were doing this play, and so my sister decided she wanted to do it there. My mother made it happen, and I was playing lead guitar and ripping guitar. Glenn was playing bongos, and so I call your name. He became a good, really good guitarist himself later on, another band. He jumped in with us because I went to school with him. But we put that on to about 3 performances at 2,000 people. That was amazing. and I did not see any of the faith part in it. But I had the inspiration to play that. I would have been 16, and I could play reasonable rhythm at the time, but I did get this energy drive that got me the lead guitar. She arranged it, so I don't take the responsibility for that. But there's something within that that gave me the inspiration to play. And I'm on a lead. And I've never looked back since. Well, I have now with the arthritis, but you know, I mean, from that point in time, I found another generation in many ways of musical aptitude and competence beyond what my previous playing was, which is okay. Classical guitar's good, and, but the rock guitar took over. But it was very, very strange. And I still can't understand it at the total, but that was a bit of a change in my life. Now, I didn't give my sister the credit at the time, but we get along better now than we ever used to. It's fantastic. It's so good. But again, you know, sometimes the influences that can spur something else even stronger will be right next to you. Anyway, but there definitely was a faith inspiration in the musical capacity in myself. It wasn't driven by me. It brought it out of me. But wow. And that woke me up a lot to, I guess, a bit of a rebirth in many ways. And I found myself, not just Catholic or Anglican, basically Christianity, that was the one, because that allowed and facilitated music around the world. It was all about love, all about good things. What can you do on that? So I found that I was then starting to, not church shop, but just see what was going on. And it was music that opened doors to go to places like Oxford, Paul's, Hillsong, all over the place. Throughout the late 70s, it was just all opening up everywhere. The earlier festivals, led up to Black Stump and things like that. Different churches would organise different things. Different groups would organise different things. You go to Mulwala, or you go to different festivals and places, and there would be some type of folk group over there, but actually it was a churchy folk group type thing. There's always something going on somewhere. Anyway, I sussed it out somehow, and it was just great. Okay, so we're moving on very rapidly. I'm not going to go through what I did professionally, earning money all over East Asia and Australia, but pretty successful on a professional basis in government. Worked for John Button, people like that, doing the Hawke, Keating years. All interesting. But any time I get away from the doors from 9 to 5, I'd be back to the music, I'd be thinking about something else. But the faith was taking me as well. So into the 90s, something like Praise Corroboree comes around. Now, did anybody get to the Praise Corroboree gatherings at Parliament House? They had thousands of people there over a period from 1996. It was a prayer gathering of trying to get politicians together to do something positive, not just fight, but they were fighting a bit. On the floor anyway, and in public. So they had gatherings on the top of the new Parliament House, and they brought the Aboriginal leaders from various places, especially a gentleman who coordinated, Peter Walker, God rest his soul, that was pushing reconciliation at the time. It's a big thing. So reconciliation became a massive thing in that part. Now, I'd never seen anything about that. When I was captain of the under-8s footy team, there was an Aboriginal guy on our team who was the fastest guy on the planet, as far as I could see. He could be the best winger he ever had. Played rugby union, rugby league. Well, rugby union was. Then I started meeting lots of Indigenous people. I met Joe House and some of the people run our access and all the other things today. Matilda House, his mother. But some fantastic people. I met Charlie Perkins. Charlie did a lot of very good things in the late 60s and early 70s, but when I met him, a bit different. He had six houses and all that, and he was becoming a bit angsty on a few things, running they had ASIC and things like that, and there was money going, like, where? And at that time, I was a gun for hire. One thing I did miss, a bit of session music work for me when I was 17 and 18. And So I was a bit of a gun for hire for music. Someone said, can you come and play at this thing? And what happened a lot with the Aboriginal, earlier Aboriginal bands, Rompy and a lot of these earlier bands, the music was pretty ordinary, to be honest, because they didn't have the technical skills. They also, the harmonies. Forget about what you used to sing around in a proper circle. You've got to, you work to a song that sounds like this, and we'll do harmonies to that. And it didn't really work crossing east, well, not east to west, but from indigenous through to a western type of style. Even in country music, that's the easiest way for them to go. But a lot of the stuff didn't work very well. So when they tried to put out a folk or an indie rock album, it sounded pretty ordinary, even in language, because they couldn't harmonise well together, because they're trying to do it to syncopated beats. That doesn't work. You can have those beats later on, but don't start off that way from singing. So they're pretty ordinary. Whereas by the time we got to Yachty Indy, they had all the harmonies right at the beginning. Then you had the beats, and that worked really well. And we got hit records and all the rest. But people could dance to it. People could enjoy it from any culture. That's when you break down those barriers. It's great. Anyway, that's I digress. I used to do a bit of session music work, and that was like a gun for hire. But I could do that lead guitar, and I had a wah-wah pedal, and I still got that wah-wah pedal. And Tooth, as he says, met me many, many years ago, and that's what I used to do. And I played in about 30 different bands, and most of mine was not happy about, because it was just basically about going in and playing. Until I found a couple of interesting times where it was actually meaning in the songs, and it wasn't about... What's this wham bam chat thank you man type stuff, and a lot of rock and rollers, like that, but a lot of it's great power chords and all the rest of it. Wow, there was some good meaning in some of these songs. So that took me back to Praise Crockery. It's up to Praise Crockery. You've got all these guys and women all having a good time, and they're all praying, heads down, beautiful blue sky above us, beautiful Southern Cross in the night time. It was a fantastic feeling out there. They had very little bits of music, only a couple of bits. And I thought, can't we do more than this? And I was just cute, sort of, I was a young one, compared to some of the others. And anyway, what happened in about 2007, guy said, well, I've been doing this for 10 years, and it's getting big, and it had reached a peak, and it was just going to go down. And a few of us got together, and one was called, a fellow called Hans van der Zandt, two Dutchmen actually, and Handegraaf, who lives down in Maria. Hans is van der Zandt is in Canberra, and Rick Teode, who is Pentecostal, and didn't know where we came from, just met up, and a few others, but that was cool. And said, well, let's bring some music. What can we do? And I don't know, it was pretty hip at the time. We knew it happening. And we decided to make the gospel happening. Just take over from Praise Crockery, because they were going to follow. They said, well, we've done 10 years. Really, they could have done more. Anyway, so we started on this journey to make something, bring faith back into the gathering with music, to draw new people into, and also to give people a bit of a purpose after the event. Where do we go from here, type of stuff? And it was a really strange type of thing in my life, I must say, because I've been through a few of these other things that I've mentioned, and a lot of things I haven't mentioned, which are all good, but not really as relevant. And we decided, where are we going to do this? We can't have a big concert and festival type thing on Parliament House. We knew we couldn't do that straight up. So, what's the next best venue? Canberra Stadium. We set a goal within 1 year period to get Canberra Stadium for nothing. The whole national gospel happened. It's revolutionary stuff for us. Every twice a week we would go to Unity College, Canberra, which was the Christian faith college. So, it was an old Catholic convent originally, but they mobbed it off. and we were there at 5 in the morning praying. I'd never done that so consistently in my life. And getting out of bed, as you know, anybody who's involved in music, 5 o'clock. But did it. We did that for a good 6 month period. Lucky I was driving, or we wouldn't have got on the road. A few times there were bangs on the window, but to get up, and that did. And we drew a number that was essentially to call people, and did it. And we organised, we got acts coming from Torres Strait. Artists weren't a problem. We had acts that were coming from like Torres Strait Islanders, and they just didn't come dressed like this. They had the full headdress on, like the, you know, like in New Guinea and things like that. That's what they do in Torres Strait. But why are they seeing the Islanders? We had Maoris who are from New Zealand, again, not from the Maoris, and that. It was amazing. Not one of the artists got paid. We had Gina Little, Vanetta Fields. Massive, massive artists. We had artists, that was in our first year. Second year, we hadn't come from the States. We hadn't come from all over. We recorded albums, which there are some copies there for you to take away with you. It's the bonus. So you've got something to go with. Okay. We did these praying, and we didn't have the stadium, right? We did. That was my job. I'm one of the other sides. I'm a bit of a legal type of guy. I went to ANU. I was a few years behind Peter Garrett, and but did exactly the same studies in economics law and that. So came out with economics, legal, commercial law, and accounting, things like that, which would be useful for somebody who needs to work out numbers to get this stadium, have a politician's ideas, because it was then called Bruce Stadium, and had to start making money, didn't it? Okay, so we prayed, we had all the artists lined up, we had a really good business plan, made a lot of sense, but I wasn't prepared to put that to anybody, because it just didn't make sense it's not going to uplift anybody. It's just, you show that to somebody in the finance department or something, what do we make out of it? Nothing. Okay, and that's true, government's not going to make a cent out of it, so we need something more. So we had a number of artists, and one of the artists was Jimmy Little, who was fantastic. And he said, I was talking to him, and he said, what's your problem? He said, well, we've got to get this over the line, you know. And he said, well, what's your biggest thing holding you back? Is it an artist? Because if it's an artist, not one artist makes a difference. They can be dropped. Somebody else will be very happy to fill their place. And I said, it's not really that. I said, well, I've got to convince these. At the time, it was the ACT assembly, and there were the 9 of them that you had to convince. To get it over one, he said, well, you've got to look at all of them in the eye, see into their hearts, before you even say a word. And once you start talking, you'll know if he's coming through you. Now this is Jimmy Little. He was a great man, and he saw us as one day at a time. And that was, even though I had Royal Telephone and all those other hits, that was his big thing, one day at a time, because that was his walk with Christ. But so that was his advice he gave me, and I took that very much to heart. So I went to this prayer meeting, and I said, well, this is the tact I think we're going to go with, on pretty good advice, we should look at this. And it's the same as standing here. You guys are sitting there. Not there to be judged or anything like that, but to get a message across, you know, that hopefully touches your heart. So we went in there, and Gary Humphries was the lead man. Jackie, there were all these very nice politicians. A lot of people would say other things about them, but at that particular meeting, so the 5 of us fellas walked in there, and I wasn't the chairman, Hans van der Sant was chairman. I usually sit back in the number crunch and do the other bits, but look, just stared around and we looked at each other, and it might have only been 30 seconds, might have been a lot, but in total, then I started talking. 5 minutes later, Gary Humphries said, you've got our agreement. I couldn't believe it. You know, It holds 25,000 people. We've got the venue, best venue in Canberra. All the sound system, everything came free. And you know, it's like my music, that's good money on the side. But it's also your biggest impost if things go wrong. It was, that to me was a personal miracle for all that group. It wasn't much mine, but it was a miracle. But it's happened, it's real. That was our very first. We went over 5 years with this gospel happening, former Gospel Music Association, and some other things. So anyway, we went on and we did all the stuff. We recorded an album and from it met Gunther Gorman. And there are some great people living around this area too, also musos. Gunther Gorman, I'll digress just briefly because it's worth saying, he's got dementia now. But he was a guy, you probably know Richard Clapton, famous Australian muso, recording artist. His biggest selling album was actually an album called Goodbye Tiger. The lead guitar work in that, a lot of the rhythm, Gunther Gorman. He was not credited on the album, he was never paid for it. Okay, he was probably too busy getting stoned at the time, and he's paying the cost for it now. But he deserved recognition. He should have been in the Richard Clapton band that toured the country and then the world and other things. But didn't happen. Jeremy Paul, one of the founders of the Vinyls, lives over in Virginia. Brilliant guy, great musician. Things went a bit funny with the Vinyls. Great band. Got a rubber there. She did when she passed away, that was it anyway. So but yeah, there are amazing things that happen in backstories and everything else, but what I do know, that was a miracle. That happened with no politicians can't agree amongst themselves. And yet they give an asset it's worth. At the time, you know, the going rate was 40-50 grand. We had it for 3 days. Unbelievable. Everything we wanted we got. It's just unbelievable. The Brumbies had their big marquee there. You can have it, boys, girls, whatever. So we had all these interesting times. We've got gospel music choirs turning up all over the country. Ned Fields flew in from the Gold Coast. She was John Farnham's backing singer. Brilliant lady originally from the States. Lovely African American singer with, you know, 3-4 part harmony, amazing. So she was there. So okay, did that. And immediately you finish one, what about the next one? In future years we had people like Kamal come in. Now he was doing a birthday party for Rupert Murdoch's mother at the time down in Western Victoria. He flew up, Murdoch flew him up. Cost us nothing. Kamal, cost us nothing. I had to go to his house. He said, you better come and talk to my wife first. Okay. You know, there's all gold plated everything, records all over the walls and things like that. Very great. Okay. And after sitting, hearing all about the elephant song and all those other great things, and chewing the fat a bit, she said, well, you have got a question, haven't you, Phil? If you don't ask, you don't get. That's what she said. And I said, well, we'd love you to perform the gospel happening. And we picked this time. It was St. Christopher's at Monaco. Great tour. Great acoustics. Anyway.
Of course I will. But I've got to go to another function.
Yeah. Leave it with me. Anyway, Rupert Murdoch arranged for his private jet to fly from her property, the property they had down in Western Victoria, not by Melbourne, straight to Canberra, drop off Kamal. Now, these things happen. It's not necessarily by design, because I couldn't do that. We couldn't work that out that closely. It happened. And we know it, because he turned up and he was there. And fantastic. Some things really are inspiring, and that inspires me to keep going, even though I've got a few physical difficulties. We had other artists and lots of things. Francine Bell came down, and another brilliant American. We had people. We put some of the money into the Hurricane Katrina fund. So one of the artists flew in from New Orleans. Rebecca Eglin, and in the 20s, African American, but great gospel singer, can pull a range of objects. You can't get better. You know, hearing it, it's hard, almost impossible. And just so good. And we had from Africa one year, we had Wangeshi Mbogo, flew in from Kenya. We didn't pay a cent. And she said, the money turned up, got ready to get to it. She didn't pay for it. What's going on? I don't look too deep for all these things, for inner meanings and all the rest. I just know it's faith inspired. That's good enough for me. Because I don't need to know everything. But I need to feel, and that's, feel that content, and you feel warm. It's a different feeling, because when it hits you, it really hits you. So I don't look for the deep meaning stuff. I don't look for which denomination. It's a God thing. And it's very much across, and it works. So I always go into that, rather than what the rest is. Okay, after that, I had all these artists, they'll say, we can't what's the biggest issue? We can't market, we can't distribute. So we formed a record label, Hard Rush Music. One of the old cards is sitting in there, which none of the phone numbers work anymore, or emails work anymore. And it was company limited by guarantee. So we could always list it on the stock exchange if people wanted to put money into it. It was a different one, but it was a limited company, it wasn't PL. And anyway, that was the idea. Again, a bit like sharing it with everybody, because they were contributing. Anyway, we grew to be the 240 artists, we grew to be the 8th largest label in the country. We're behind Shop and Mushrooms, and then you had EMI and the same others. That was pretty amazing within a period of a year and a half. Very, very difficult. Wasn't paying myself for doing any of it. I was doing traffic control and doing lots of project consultancy work on the side, a bit of musical production things here and there, just to get money to survive. But I thought, no, it's an act of faith for me, put more time into it. But 240 artists is a lot of burden, a lot of touring, a lot of concerts, a lot of albums put out, produced a lot of stuff. Got an award for Country Gospel Music Album, which I'm very proud of, because it's one of the areas where Australian Christian music actually can really shine and excel in its country gospel sort of size. A member of RA going, I remember Dennis Hanlon, who was the head of Sony at the time, walked up to him in the last year. Now that guy's a millionaire. He ended up having a big fall from Sony after all the abuse and backdoor deals and sex and things like that was going on, to what he did with the artist. But he was running out of RA and everything else like that. Went to the Deadly Awards, all those type of things. We had some great indigenous acts. They were all coming out of, what were former missions, like out of places like Sejuna, not far from a bit south of Maralinga. And they could play. They were players. We had one band called the Alzheimer's myself. I know Mike is the Merge. Anyway, they have different awards all over the world. They have the World Music Awards. That particular year they're having in Toronto, sent off music via some videos and that. They won the best world music band in the world for that year. WOMAD and things like that were in Adelaide, but they weren't giving out the international awards. This was moving across, moved to Berlin and all that. They won it in Toronto that year. Everybody wanted a piece of that. I could not get them played on Triple J. The album that we had, it's a great album, three tracks in language. They would not play any English people. They would play with a rumpy band. They played something like that, mate. You're not appealing, and this is before you got the Indy. It just should have happened. It really should have happened. The ABC, it's not the ABC, it's certain personnel in the organisations that have that power of authority to say, nope. That's what happens. I couldn't believe what was happening out there. Hard Rush Music was a truly independent label. It was run by the artists. You know, it was, you know, I did the distribution. That was really hard, but we had stuff on consignment, whatever. It took 3 years to break into sanity. When we broke into sanity, we had thousands moving out. One artist literally moved millions, but it was all overseas. We had one of the rock bands, which is all faith based, called Outcry. They had a Christian rock band. They changed their name from what they were, which was just really dumb. But anyway, Outcry worked. It was the highest music video airplay at one stage across all East Asia. Had it all lined up. Had record deals lined up. Had concerts got arranged all over the place. But we could not break. We could break Radio National with the instrumental type stuff. They loved that. But with some of the other stuff, they just didn't want to know. And you would think, why? I went to Fox FM in Melbourne and talked to some people and said, well, this is the playlist I got. Who decides that? Well, this guy and this guy from Sony. What? There's no money going hands, but the thing is, there's so much contras in the deal, it works out well for everybody. And there's a lot of corruption in the music industry. Taze has been on X Factor, with Club 3. They already have, probably 4 or 5 albums at that stage, more later, of all their own original compositions. Couldn't play one of them. You have to play this and that and other things, because that gets public broadcasting royalty rights straight back to Sony. So, isn't that sponsored for these programs? But you look who's there, it's Sony. And the money's all coming there. Sony's doing their own stuff on their terms. So, it was really difficult to survive through that label. But if you look at the card there, you'll see it's actually a four different colours. In the middle, you've got a cross. That's four papers for it. And whilst I don't, it's no good to push Jesus down people's throat and God and all the rest. Nobody wants that. They want to determine things for themselves. But if you let them know at least where it's coming from, then they, and it's with an open heart, and you're trying to see where their heart it works. That's what I mean. Anyway, that's probably enough for me for now. You've got some free goodies there. I hope it's touched a couple of nerves along the way, and memories and things like that. It all works well. If you've got any questions, it's free, open up. Hope it works. Thank you.
For those of us who don't know, what do you do to fill your time nowadays? I know it's a slightly different tangent, shall we say?
Yeah, okay. Well, after the record label, CDs, half the country's CD shops disappeared in about 8 months. Just closed down. Now you won't find any. You'll find the old vinyl, different pieces. There's not much left. So, really, the business distribution side died. It wasn't Christian labels, it was everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is, in the music festivals and things like that, did a fair few of those. Some were successful, some less successful, some broke news and whatever worked. But it was just running really ragged. Somebody said to me, my neighbour next door actually, I said, you've always wanted a venue. Because the first thing you do when you have a music festival, like I always did 3 days, one day wasn't enough. So you have to negotiate a venue. I said, so what? I said, well, it's just pub for sale. I said, what? Down in Limmerville. What? Okay. So I've been past it many times, like everybody else does. Yeah. And came down the first time, had a look at it. Okay, interesting. Walked around the back, there's a big hole in the wall. Yeah, okay, so snow's in there, water's in there. 20 cats living upstairs. Don't like cats. Dogs? Okay, all right. I've been on the market for a little while. I've been closed for 6 years. What's the story behind it? I came back 4 times. Second time I came back, I met the neighbour across the road. He said, don't buy it. Well, you go broke. Nobody wants it. Forget it. Keep going. That was his. Third time I came back after looking at Trove, some of the history and heritage, things like that. I'm walking seriously around and thinking, there's a few festivals here. We do a few things here. I shouldn't have been thinking about it. Okay, but the heritage really grabbed me as well. So many good things have happened in this town. We have 1,000 people 100 years ago. Really? We know it now. Okay. Everybody had a journey. Found that it's actually doing family histories. One of my relatives, when he was 14, was killed in a logging accident. over 100 years ago. That twin coexist. Bizarre.
Fourth time came down.
I don't know why it was.
Okay. Changed my life. Why not? Every 10 years, do something different. And haven't looked back since. Just my health in winter. I never thought it was that bad, but it's pretty bad. You get cold.
So you've moved
that
from...
That's the hotel, the motel, a couple of properties.
So, musical distribution to publican.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to pray for our publican.
Yeah, music's always still been there. We're building a studio, both some video and audio studio there.
So your music for a lot of that has been as a vehicle to share the gospel. Have you got plans for that
for other people to
facilitate that? That's,
that's
part of the deal.
Yeah.
So how can you see that happening through Nimitabelle? Noting that it now has less than 200 people, I think.
368.
Oh, sorry. Less than 1,000 anyway.
On the way out. It'll peak at about 500 probably.
But down from 1,000.
Down, different down. Oh, we'll do music festivals. I have, the first time I think I met Steve. We're talking about pub church, things like that. Nothing too heavy. Something that people can come and, I could like this, get together with. To share their views, gain a bit of an insight. Sometimes sharing and caring, you're getting better. And listening. That sort of stuff can happen. And that happens every day over the bar. People come and they have a story to tell. They have woes, they have good things, whatever. Sometimes it's pretty droll. But either way, there's something for everyone in there. And you can find it. I find myself, I'm sure Tooth also does a good service at the bar, philosophy. Sometimes you can brighten somebody's day, and that can change their life. They stop them doing something they might regret, or they might have a second chance of. That's a good feeling. I always feel good when I see somebody smile. That makes my moment. And that's not just me. I always tell them I'm accompanied by some higher power there. And for me, of course. In many ways, I know it might sound like a crew, but I see him as a bit of a hippie, and a pretty good hippie. Didn't need the walls, didn't need the building. That's pretty good. And they always say good music.
Hey, and why don't you spruik the event at the end of the month?
I was always doing different events, and I've got the inaugural Breakfast of Life Folk Festival coming up at the end of this month. 24th to 26th of June. You're welcome to come along. There'll be different people coming from all different backgrounds to play music, to also tell stories, bush poetry type stuff, but also storytelling. It'll be a bit of faith and time in a lot of us too. You'll find it. It's just there. Sometimes you say, oh, really? That's interesting. You didn't even know that there was there. And you don't know what the background of the people are either. They've all been on journeys too. They're all searching. They're all different too. You're all welcome to come to that, sir.
24th, 26th October,
is it? Correct, yeah. But really, Saturday, Sunday, the best days to come, because Friday's May and the night, and that's when the newshouse gets together and have a bit of a jam session. That's all good fun. Yeah. But during the year, you've got various things. I started steampunk 8 years ago in the hotel. I was one of the co-founders, and another fellow came up, he was doing FBOS machines, but he was into steampunk. I can't even finish that. I'm going to send this bank out for an hour and invest in it. Put that together. We'll see it here. Okay. We'll see what happens. Well, the town fell in love with it, and the whole town took it on. I mean, you probably saw the back roads program and other things like that. It really worked. It brings about 3,500 people to Nimitabelle. Mm. It's not mine, but I am still the festival director. It's easier to organise things, let other people let their talents shine, let their hopes and aspirations. It is a blessing, and I'm serious about the pub church type thing. We've got the men's shed and things like that, but I'm thinking that we can maybe kick off one thing at least with this folk festival on Saturday morning. I've asked Steve already, and come on, just sort of any denomination, everything is everybody's welcome. But just something, let's hear the fest, the music, whatever, because it works for the Oyster Fest, it works for lots of other things, and it's over time, there are structures out there, And I said, well, we can't pay that. They said, no, okay, this is good. The ABC covers always works with the flutes and things like that. You know, Channel 9 does too, you know. But you may not get that coverage. But still, we very much welcome that, and I think it would be a very good, great way to uplift and give them extra spiritual education.
Good. No, sorry, I was here. Steve had mentioned that you'd mentioned the idea of pub church nearly a year ago, it was now, I think.
Yeah,
certainly at the beginning of the year, I don't know. But it's certainly one thing that it certainly caught my imagination in terms of how the Holy Spirit could use that. We really must find the time to always, probably is my, looking after the churches that I'm doing around here. My life is pretty busy, but I've been meaning to try and find the time to drop in and chat and see if we can get started with that. But it's certainly something that I guess pub church is the sort of thing that at least initially would largely appeal to guys. So I'm thinking that maybe as an offshoot of this men's breakfast, that if it was something that some guys wanted to get involved in terms of a generic gospel happening, not a gospel happening, but a church service, a service where the gospel is proclaimed in a context that people can hear and understand, and in a building that hopefully more people come to than they do to the church around the corner.
Yeah.
We get a few there, and maybe that's an extension of that, but nevertheless, it's something that that I would certainly look at in terms of proclaiming the gospel in Nimbitabelle. If we can get into the churches, and then even to the extent that it revolves around more the music side of things that you've been involved, or the speaking side, or just whatever we can do, I think it's something that if people, particularly in this group, were interested to being part of, I can see that. You've kicked off a lot of things, but as you've indicated through your talk, you've been a part of a lot of other people doing stuff as well, and so in the way that we could get a group together that was keen to kick it off in a way that suited the venue, that suited that led by the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in Nimbitabelle, seeing how that if that's I can't imagine it would ever. I don't think Nimbitabelle would cope with it being as big as the gospel happening. But
no.
I mean, multiplying the population by 10 for your steampunk is probably stretching the friendship to a degree.
It's the best trading that weekend in the year, everybody. It works.
But anyway, that's we need to talk about that. If there are people that have the Holy Spirit grabbed the heart and says this is something that we can do in Nimbitabelle and other places as well, I'm sure generally speaking, for all sorts of reasons, pub patronage is going down.
I'm
saying is there are other pubs that we could use that without interfering with their primary business is what I'm thinking.
I think you'll find that the other publicans would be welcome too. Together, that's the main thing. Hotels, just like churches, will meet places as well. Just as much as water and hospitals. And that's a good thing, a community type feel. But one thing I did forget to mention in the presentation, I guess, was who do you think are the biggest selling parts in Australia to the world? Who would you think would be the number one selling artist?
Australian artists?
Australian artists. Well, Australian based, originally Australian based artists, I'd say.
The Wiggles?
No.
The
BGs? BGs and ACDs are quite far. Okay. After that, interesting. To solo artists? Who would be number two? And I would say solo artists. It's coming down.
Sorry.
Who would be the next artist after ACDC and the BGs?
Okay.
Close, number three.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
I remember I talked about her, how she changed. She did early songs, one of McCartney songs actually, and other songs. But after she met Colin Lewis, her life changed.
$100 million
Based on album sales at this stage, let's go, because streaming just changed the whole picture. Okay, but then you've got Daniel Sturz. Okay, but then you've got the Seekers. Right, Seekers are massive, over 50 million album sales. Okay, but if we go down then, have you ever heard of a band called Newsboys?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 10 million. 10 million sales. And they never got an RA. I remember anything in this country with recognition of that. Two fellas from the Sunshine Coast, mm-hmm. also down in Newcastle sometimes too, went out of the States just for a few years. Rebecca St. James,
yeah.
Million and a half, sorry, 3 million. So.
How about Auntie Jack?
Hmm?
Auntie Jack.
I got Auntie Jack.
Where does Barnsley fit in? Come on.
Barnsley and Barnsley, not as high as some people might think. Okay. Not doing at all. 13 million.
Yeah.
Big names here, but in a wider perspective. That's so big. One of the artists we had, and he's down the rush out in there, called InFlight. Poor fellows out of Melbourne, and brilliant musicians. And they I had lots of offers to go and manage bands and things. Themselves. I said no to everything. I said no. I'm comfortable with it. Anyway, these guys said, you don't know what it's like, girl. You walk onto a stage at this Christian rock festival, and there's 40,000 people there. And they're playing to church back here.
You going to check that good album?
And they're able to have a listen to the albums, and you can listen to them. It's a brilliant musician, as good as any in the world. They've got the talent here. There's also a lot of faith inspired musicians in the left, right, and center. You don't see them because it doesn't jump out at you. But as long as you've got a feeling, when you're playing well, and when you just work, it's there. It has to hang on. Thank you very much. Sorry.
All right, I'll for it. Do you have a question then?
I just want to say, where do you think you might draw the line between contemporary Christian music for recreation, for personal enjoyment, and where for edification, spiritual, meaningful spiritual blessing, and or should there be?
Yeah, well, that's a little bit like what I said earlier. That's where once I get to that more generalistic sort of, or the overview of the page, I don't bother to go down any further. It's faith-inspired, and it's giving that positive feel to life, and that's good enough for me. So I just find that once we become too human and start to work out all the rules and bits and pieces of this, it's like deconstructing a robot, and it's not going to get you anywhere except down a rabbit hole. Seen so many things fall apart because different people have their own little or their own blinker views, and the other person at the same, yet they start off in the same. It's so sad because they've lost basically the basic direction or the core belief that they had in the first place to all these other little things. That's why I don't go down too deep. I don't mean it's shallow. Sometimes you do have to smell the roses and enjoy it for what it is. And if it's faith inspired, it's God there, Christ, that's good enough for me.
Okay, well thank you, Kel. I think you've given us a lot to think about. Certainly you've done quite a bit over your however many years, a few years, a couple of years. None of us are getting any younger. But I certainly would like to pray now that that God would continue to use you. I'm particularly excited by this idea of the pub church, but whatever ways that God can use you through music, through the pub, through just your organisational ability and even the promotional ability, that everything seems to need to so that people can hear about Christ crucified. So let me pray for you now. Father God, we thank you for Kel's life and for the influence and the way that your Holy Spirit has used him to the gospel music inspired by faith in you. can be heard by the people and can change lives. We pray as Kel moves forward, as he operates the pub, as he just chats with people there, but also looks for opportunities there, whether it be pub, church, or whether it be something else with respect to what's going on in Nemitable or the wider Coomber area. We pray that you will use Kel and the skills and the gifts that you have given him to for your gospel to be proclaimed, for the message of salvation through Jesus Christ to be heard, to that your Holy Spirit may impact people's hearts through the meagre efforts that we do in your name. So thank you for the work that Kel has done over the years, and for the work that your Holy Spirit will continue to do with him. Bring Christians around him to support, encourage and make these things happen, that your name be glorified in our lives. We ask this in the one who makes it all possible, one who offers us eternal life through his death and resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.